down the road, you'd be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did. So dream, explore, say yes to life. Be inspired to live life as an exciting adventure of discovery. You are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and I'm your host, Mark Susnow. Hi, everybody. Welcome. We're going to have a great conversation this afternoon with my friend and colleague, David Cutler. He is a managing editor of the Joseph Campbell Foundation, and I know a lot of you who listen to this show are familiar with the work of Joseph Campbell, and he's one of his most well-known books is The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And I think a lot of us through our lives have heard the phrase, the hero's journey, and it, and that concept really comes from what Joseph Campbell really describes in the Hero with a Thousand Faces. And that's why I invited David to join us to really talk about the book, Joseph Campbell, and also what the hero's journey is in today's world. How do you be that hero? How do you live that journey with what's going on today? So welcome, David. Thanks for joining us, and I'm looking forward to this conversation, as I said to you off air. I'm sure I will get new insight in terms of all these things.
Because you and I have talked about this before, but just to sort of go through it, The Hero with a Thousand Faces, a book, came out in 1949. Campbell was a professor of comparative mythology, and he felt that combined everything from anthropology and history and literature all the way up to psychology and philosophy and all of the rest of it. Because his idea of mythology isn't old stories. It was about about how we tell the stories that we tell. That's his thought about mythology. You know, we have stories that we tell about everything. And he looked at the different functions that a mythology serves and that myths serve. And in 1949, he looked at basically a whole range of stories, you know, running the last 5,000 years, for as long as we have stories, on up to the modern day, including actually, this is 1949, so he had case studies from Freud and Jung and people talking right. about their dreams and things like that. And what he noticed was that there was a pattern that all of these stories, from Gilgamesh on up to somebody sitting, you know, in Freud's couch, you know, they all shared a similar structure. And so that is what he wrote about in The Hero with a Thousand Faces, was that structure. And it was that structure that a lot of then after that creative people, novelists and filmmakers and songwriters and video game designers and designers of amusement park rides and all kinds of different things that you don't think of as having stories to them. All of them, people who were creating these things looked up and realized that the experience that Campbell was describing, that path, the hero's journey, was something that helped them to craft their creations, art, songs, novels, whatever, in ways that people found compelling and transformative. And the most famous example of that is George Lucas, who literally, he was stuck writing this movie that he wanted to write that was sort of a cross between Japanese Akira Kurosawa movies, samurai movies, and the serial sci-fi movies, Flash Gordon and the rest, that he had watched as a kid. And he was trying to come up with a storyline that would combine these things and be compelling, and people would find it exciting. And he was pulling his hair out, and a friend of his dropped a book on his right next to his typewriter. This was 1973 or 74, and said, mm-hmm. "You know, George, here, this is what you're looking for." And the movie script that he created was, of course, the first Star Wars movie, what we call A New Hope now, but it was Star Wars at the time. And it, you know, from there, the idea of the hero's journey, he was very public in talking about how the hero with a thousand faces had helped him. And so the hero's journey, you know, became a very popular story arc that followed more or less. Yeah, and that, that's what it's been.
In Star Wars, that's the give us the elements there of the Star Wars in terms of
It's a perfect journey. It's a perfect example. There are three basic the thing to remember about the hero's journey as Campbell found it in all of these old stories and all of the stories that he analyzed is that it's a circle. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at Aristotle, it looks like his idea of a plot is that it looks like a mountain. You've got rising action, a climax, and then falling action. Campbell identified it as a circle. And what he said is you start in the world of the everyday. And what's everyday for the main character or characters? So that, mm-hmm. you know, could be for Luke Skywalker, that's him sitting on Tatooine watching the sunset, the two suns set. Because he's bored out of his mind and wants to be off, you know, doing something exciting. And he knows that there must be something else out there because he's not living his full authentic life. And mm-hmm. The next element that occurs, the first element really of the story, is what's called the call to adventure. And that in different stories shows up in different ways. If you look at a lot of times in the old stories, it'll be a prophecy or a bird flying out of the sky and telling, you know, the hero that they need to do something, God telling Jonah that he needs to go to Nineveh. And then what happens is often the hero's like, well, cool. In Star Wars, Princess Leia, who we saw being interrogated by, turns out to be her father, Darth Vader, up on the spaceship, says, you know, to R2-D2, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what shows up when Luke tries to activate the droid. And that's his call to adventure. He knows somebody named Kenobi. He's, fascinated by this hologram of this, you know, young woman. Turns out to be his sister. He doesn't know that yet.
Uh-huh.
And so what he does is he then goes and he has what's called, and the whole first step of the story is what Campbell calls separation. He is now separated from his home, from, you know, where he was. And he goes off to find Ben.
Yeah. So let's just backtrack a little second. So what it is somebody's leading an ordinary life. They kind of mm-hmm. feel there's more for them. There's more
yep.
out there to experience.
Exactly.
And then they get this, something calls them, this call to adventure.
Exactly.
And so what they need to do then, this call to adventure, is to kind of cut the cord of all that was before. Is that, would you say, kind of? Is that what you mean about separation?
Well, they may not be aware of it yet. Like, for instance, I mean, you know, when Luke is going off to talk to Obi-Wan, Ben, he doesn't know that he's leaving home yet.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
in fact, that's what started. And so, yeah, it's the beginning of the separation for him. He's started the walk down, you know, what Campbell would call the road of adventure, you know, the quest. And, you know, he goes through a series of things that suddenly he finds he can't go home again. He comes home and his home has been burnt to ashes. And he's got now a quest that he's been sent on, which is to get, you know, to this princess and get to the rebellion and help the rebellion and help the princess. He doesn't know what it all looks like yet, but he's gung-ho and all in from the minute he really commits to it.
What I'm flashing on is years ago in the whole, you know, hippie movement, where a lot of these young people, right, they say, okay, I'm leaving home. I just mm-hmm. know there's something out there. I don't feel it in South Dakota. I'm going
or,
to San Francisco. And,
or I'm
and
in
they
San
just,
Francisco.
They get there and they know they can't go back.
And that was, you know, we'll get to that in a second, but that is the same thing, the call to adventure, you know, the summer
right.
of love for a lot of people was the call
yeah.
to adventure.
Right.
You know, for a lot of people, you know, sometimes it's you're sitting in a job and you suddenly realize you're going to shoot yourself if you have to sit at this desk another minute. Or
right.
It can be you find out that you're sick. Or it can be, I mean, you know, sometimes it's a positive thing, sometimes it's a negative thing. But it's a call from the universe that you need to take either a physical journey, but it isn't always physical. Sometimes it's psychological or spiritual. Sometimes it's a journey through time. But you have to change where you have been comfortable, where you have been. And then you have to do what's, and this is the next step, right? There's the call to adventure. And then there's what's called crossing the threshold, which is where you irrevocably leave the everyday world and everything that was in it. And then you cross into a world where all of the rules of the everyday world are turned upside down. None of them apply. And suddenly you now are on a completely different trip. Okay? In Star Wars,
so where would
that
show
happens...
up? Go ahead.
No. That was exactly what I was going to say. In Star Wars, you know, everything in the first, you know, 40 minutes, 30 minutes of the movie is taking place on this desert planet, and it's very bright, and it's very light, and it's very boring as far as
uh-huh.
Luke is concerned.
Right.
And then what happens
uh-huh.
is he ends up going off with this, you know, scoundrel Han Solo in a spaceship, and they take off, and suddenly where everything has been light and dry and arid, suddenly they're in space, and it's dark, and infinite possibility is out there. You can go anywhere in space, right? And
mm-hmm.
so the minute that they shift into hyperdrive, hyperspace, or whatever the heck they call it, but that moment where the universe just sort of explodes and they're flying forward into it, that's the crossing of the threshold in Star Wars. And once they go past that point, he's left Tatooine behind him, and he's, you know, going through what become a series of tests. He is being, Campbell called it the road of trials. You recognize this, like, from every, if you've ever read, like, old myths, Odysseus going from island to island and running into all of these different
mm-hmm.
monsters and different tests, and sometimes
right.
it's pleasant and sometimes it's awful. Campbell identified four major tests that frequently happen. One is called the meeting of the sacred goddess, and he's looking at these from male points of view. But he said, even in the Hero with a Thousand Faces, this works the other way for the female, and it's meeting the ideal of the opposite of you, whatever that happens to be. And so the marriage with the goddess or the god, it can, again, it can be positive or negative. Sometimes it's a wonderful thing. Sometimes it's, Circe. In Luke's case, it's meeting the woman who turns out to be his sister. I don't even think George Lucas knew that when he wrote the first screenplay. But we'll give him, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. When he finally meets up with Princess Leia, there's a moment where everything is changed by that. And she questions him and, all of that. But it changes him. There's what's called father atonement. And that isn't so important in the first Star Wars movie, but it's absolutely central in the second Star Wars movie. Luke, you know it is true, I am your father. That's a moment where Luke has to come to grips with, am I willing to connect with my father? And in that moment, he doesn't. He fails that particular test. Another one is, and I'm blanking on the name, it's a wonderful Greek word for becoming one with God, and I can't remember what it is. That's essentially it. It's becoming one with the larger universe. And, if you look at the story of the Gospels or of the life of the Buddha, they literally become one. The Buddha reaches nirvana. Christ dies and is reborn, to his divine self. And so that is another one of the tests. And the fourth test is kind of a fun one, which is called the fire theft. And that's where you steal something, like, say, a princess from a Death Star, or a Prometheus stealing fire from the gods. And there are lots and lots of stories where this is a motif, where, what then happens is you got to get out of there quick, and the monsters are on your heels, and you have to get away from them before they catch you. And so that's exactly what happens in Star Wars, where they got to go out, and then having gotten out, they have to go back because what was there is going to kill them. But now they have, Luke has, by going through the experience of having survived all of those trials in the middle part of the story, and by learning what Obi-Wan had to teach him. This is another motif in a lot of these stories, is the wise old man or woman, the magical helper who is teaching you along the way. And in the case of Star Wars, it's Obi-Wan and then Yoda. And in both cases, they impart wisdom that Luke isn't able to absorb in the moment. But after the fact, once he's gone through these other trials, he is going back to the Death Star to blow up the Death Star, and he hears the voice of Obi-Wan say, "Use the Force, Luke." And he suddenly, because he's been through everything else, able to use what he has learned and does it, and in fact is able to destroy this huge machine. So then once he's done that, he's able to truly return. Now, he doesn't return to Tatooine. He started out on a desert planet, and he ends up on a lush forest planet, both in the first movie and in the whole series, the end of the third movie. So he goes through a place. So even though he's back on a planet, it's a different planet. It's a different place.
Right.
And what was dry and arid and awful and tedious is now a lovely place and wonderful and, full of life.
It kind of a lot of times in life we think about what once was, things were really good, and then stuff comes
sure.
up and you maybe have a fall, things don't go so well, and you have this longing for what was,
right?
And yet
the what was
the reality
is not
that
necessarily
never
what
gonna
it, yeah.
be what was, but it could be better than what was,
right? I mean,
and that's kind of
nostalgia
what you just
is
described, yeah,
exactly
in the movie.
So,
yeah,
right. And what if you think about it, and that's I've used many novels and stories and myths and movies and different things, and it's really is true. The end, you return to this place. Harry Potter returns, you know, on the train, and he's going back to the Dursley's house after every single book, but it's never the same place as when he left because he's different. He's been changed.
Right.
And that's true with Luke as well. And so there are three basic, I mean, parts to the story, right? There's the separation, which is getting away, you know, the call to adventure and the crossing of the threshold. That's getting away from what you were. There mm-hmm. is initiation, which is that whole group of adventures and trials and all of the things that happen to you in the land of adventure, the place where all of the rules are turned upside down. And then there's what's called the return, which is crossing back across the threshold again and coming back. And again, as we were just saying, where you come back to is never the same place you left because you are different. And one more thing. You'll notice that in a lot of these stories and in a lot of dreams and in a lot of experiences that people talk to, even you're talking about the experience of the Summer of Love coming out to San Francisco. In order to become who you really are, who you were needs to die. And so in a lot of these stories, there is either a symbolic or an actual death that occurs where the self that you had identified with, the ego that you had identified with through the first part of your life, the story, whatever, you have to let go of that. And then, once you've done that, then you are ready to embrace, who you are. In the Odyssey, Odysseus.
What I want to do
a little bit,
David,
yeah, please.
Is in our time remaining, is to kind of bring it back to like present life and in all
of
our
course.
Lives. I mean, I look at whenever I know from my when you were telling this story, and so. I mean, first of all, I want to see Star Wars again.
Yeah, me too.
I want to see it again. And I was thinking, you know, for everybody's listening to the show, is where were you when you watched that movie and what was going on
oh,
in
I
your
know.
Life at that time when you watched
well,
Star Wars for the first time?
The amazing thing for me, the first time I saw Star Wars was the first public screening. It was before it was released. And it was here in San Francisco, and I was a freshman in high school, and I had no idea what I was walking into.
Where in San Francisco did you see this?
The North Point Theater, which doesn't exist anymore.
Uh-huh.
And
I
it
saw,
was basically what Lucas and his people did was they bussed in kids from high schools all around the Bay Area. And mostly from the theater programs because they figured the theater kids would be into it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That they would be weird
no,
enough.
No, I saw
and
it in
enough.
San Francisco, too, at the Coronet Theater that's no longer
there. Oh,
there
you go.
Absolutely. Gary and Arguello. And you know what I
think
I was
that
thinking
may
about
have been where I finally saw it after it was released, too. I think I
uh-huh.
saw it at the same time.
Yeah, I remember the first day as a big line I saw it with my brother.
Yeah.
What I was thinking about it is, you know, before we started the show, we talked about bringing this to everyday life. And I was just thinking
of
as you're sharing the story, of my own life in terms of what I knew was being a lawyer, right? I did that for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have this call that there was more out there that I wasn't experiencing. And that
mm-hmm.
also, that call for more also got me into exploring the whole, you know, becoming part of the whole counterculture. But also
sure.
this way back when I was in my 20s, but this idea of, okay, I'm letting go of being a lawyer, kind of this call of adventure of entering this land of the unknown. And there are some things I look back now about when I was a lawyer, there was more financial stability, which was
yeah.
nice. And there's part of me that kind of, oh, I wish I had that like I did then, but I don't. But the other
yeah.
thing is that I can't return to that. But what it is, my life is so much greater now because it does feel like an adventure. It's exciting. And I've taken on a new role of being a mentor, a wise and elder. And, you know, I mean, the reality is if you've been around for a while, you become an elder. You know, raised a family, you know, you're not a kid anymore. And to
no.
take on a new role and to really thrive in it, to learn really how to thrive in our new self, which you can never experience unless you let go of your old self. And that's really what
right.
I heard in the story in the Star Wars that you talked about and the whole Joseph Campbell thing. And it also makes me want to read Hero with a Thousand Faces.
It's a wonderful book. It is not what I would call a light reading. Because it's a very,
yeah.
it was an academic book, but it's really exciting. And the two things I can share with you that tie in exactly with what you're talking about, one is that Campbell actually said in one of his workshops, which got picked up in one of the books that we published, you have to be ready to let go of the life you planned in order to, and I'm going to get the wording wrong, but it's basically in order to take on the life that's waiting for you, the life that you can have. And the idea is that that's the authentic life that you're being true to who you are now, as opposed to who you were when you were planning it 10 years ago or who your parents said you should be. And what Campbell called that process of being authentic to yourself and pursuing what you couldn't not pursue, is another way he used to put it, is he called
Let's
it
go over that
bliss.
Again, David. Yeah. That,
okay.
And ending it with follow your bliss, because that's something that we talked about before, I think on the last time you were on
yes.
the show. But this idea of letting go of the life you plan to live the life
that is waiting for you.
Uh-huh. I like that.
And again, I'm not sure that I don't think I got the wording perfectly, but that's the basic idea, and I think
uh-huh.
it's a wonderful one, because we get caught up in our plans and our thoughts. And the whole idea of the hero's journey as a story arc, but also as a psychological process, which is really
right.
what it is that you have to let go of what you thought might be and what was, and be true to what is and what will be. And that, again, you know, Campbell called that following your bliss. And it wasn't happy bliss. It wasn't, happy, happy, joy, joy, easy, easy, lovely, lovely. It was, like I said, the thing that you can't not do. You pursued a life that was away from you. You were a lawyer. I was an actor, which sounds like a fun life, right? Creative life. And I realized that my family was my bliss, and that being an actor wasn't a really terribly supportive way for me to be a part of the family. And I ended up sort of trying to scratch my head what I was going to do, and left what I was doing. And it was only then that the opportunity to work for the Campbell Foundation opened up, and I became the managing editor of the Collected Works of Joseph Campbell, which I've been doing as of February of next year. I will have been doing it 20 years. And
wow.
if you want to talk about an example of yeah,
yeah, we can't. We're out of time. We have
46
seconds. I want to thank you for this conversation. I knew it would be interesting, that I'd learn a lot. I hope you learned a lot. And to you out there who are listening, thanks for listening to the show. And each week I hope to have some very interesting, amazing people that can share their light, their wisdom with us. And meanwhile, let's again thanks to David Cutler for being our guest. And until next week, journey on. Thanks for listening. I hope you feel inspired to take the next step in your life. And if you haven't already, please take the time to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com and discover the various services and products we offer that could just very well change your life.